In my Father's house, there are many mansions. So we sometimes, Brother Curvey shared with us today, not only do we sing, as Paul told the Corinthian church, but we also sing with the understanding that what we're singing, we can find in the Word of God. And so again, that's our hope, that we will be able to receive, that, as he mentioned, a mansion, robe, and crown. Amen? I like to start, as I do, reminding me and us of our purpose for assembling. And Paul, in Acts chapter 2, talked about those things when Christ has ascended back to heaven and the first worship service was conducted. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly, in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching from the Word of God. And fellowship is when we share with God what God has blessed us with. We call it offering. We give back to God that which God has allowed us to receive. And then the Bible says, and in breaking of bread, and that's communion, we commune with the Lord. Our minds, as a brother led us this morning, should reflect back on the fact that Christ hung, bled, and died on that cross. Yeah. And that bread and that fruit of the vine allows our minds to go there. And then we also were led in prayer on this morning. And then Luke wrote, praising God. We sung without mechanical instruments this morning. We don't use those things to accompany us. God has given us our voices to sing.
That's right.
We praise God. And Luke wrote, in having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So just from that verse, we should understand that it is the Lord that adds those to the church.
Amen.
And those that are added to the church are those that have been saved from their past sins. And if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the church that we can find in the Bible, it's my responsibility to share with you specifically and clearly what God has commanded for us to do in order to become a Christian. You're not saved until you obey the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Also, we find attending worship service is a privilege or a benefit that is good for those that are healthy enough to assemble with Christians. Amen? Also, attending worship service is an obligation or something that every Christian that is able must do to be pleasing in the sight of God. Yeah, we should assemble, if we're able to worship God in spirit and truth. And it lets God know when we assemble each Sunday, we're saying to God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me another opportunity to come and to sing praise to you for what you have done for me and are doing in my life.
Amen.
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 When I think about situations or things that can cause us to be ashamed, I know for me, when I realized that I was poor, it brought about shame to me. You know, you growing up, and we know as children, we are not responsible for the circumstances that we find ourselves in. But there are still our situations.
Amen.
And so I know growing up in school, there were times when there were activities that they would have, and we didn't have the money for me to participate in. Mm. And I was shameful. The fact that at that time, you know, I think whatever it was for lunches at the time. You know, back when I grew up, they had what was called free lunch tokens.
Right.
And you would have that token to get a free lunch. Because you did not have the monies consistently to buy lunch. And so I know I had a shame that I lived with because of the poorness in which I lived. And so we're talking about shame this morning. I know even today, I know for me, when I took on my new job last year, for me, lacking in information technology in the workforce was shameful to me. Because sometimes you don't want to ask people that which you don't know, which they expect you to know. Amen. So for me, it brought some shame until I realized that when you don't know what you don't know, you just don't. Yeah. And so you have to grow to a point that now on my job, if it is something that I don't know, I ask for someone that can help me. Yeah. So we want to talk this morning from the text where Paul said, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." We'll talk about that this morning from the Word of God. Paul said, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." What is it that I should not be ashamed of? We're going to find that in the text. Especially if I'm a Christian, a child of God. What is it that I ought not be ashamed of? Amen? So Paul started in verse continuing. We started, remember, on my last time before you. We talked about from verse 7 where Paul had told Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And we talked about that. And so we pick up again. These are continual lessons going through the text, getting those things that Paul wrote to Timothy to share with those, what I'm trying to share with us, that it strengthens our faith. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so he said in verse number 8, he said, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. He said, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Amen. Now we look at the definition of the word ashamed. It is something that causes one embarrassment. Yeah. Well, Paul told Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ, nor regarding my situation of being a prisoner. Amen? And so, I want to do a word study, a case study this morning. Turn your Bibles. Let us work our Bibles this morning. Meet me in Mark chapter 14. Yeah, let's look at a case study. We're going to talk about shame this morning and denial. When we are denying. You know, because Paul told Timothy, whatever you do, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 14 and verse number 61, again, when I do a case, I like to get it so we can all pick it up and understand what's happening. So in verse 61, the Bible says, when the high priest, in verse 60, stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answer thou nothing?" Verse 60, Mark 14. He said, "What is it which these witnesses had against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory." Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and buffet him and say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. So they began to beat, spit on Jesus. And the word buffet means to beat him. And they slapped him, the Bible said, with the palms of the hand. And here where it picks up at. We're talking about shame. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." Watch Peter. But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crowed. Yeah, that's important. The cock gonna crow. Because we'll find sometimes. Look at verse 29. Let me show you where that connects at. We're going to get back to 14. Let us be careful when we start saying what we will do and what I won't do and all that stuff. Because sometimes we can get ourselves in trouble.
Okay.
Peter told the Lord in verse number 29 of Mark 14. But Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will..." He said, "No, everybody else may be offended, you Lord, not me. I won't never be ashamed to deny you, Lord." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, that this day, not tomorrow, this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Jesus told Peter, Peter, sometime, and I'm saying to all of us, walk around with a spirit of humility. And don't say what you will and won't do. "I won't never. You won't catch me ever. I don't care what happened. I won't." Peter did that. "Lord, I don't care if everybody else." Jesus, knowing the hearts of everybody, said, "Peter, let me share something with you. You know, you see these roosters walking around here?" He said, "Before that rooster cocks two times. You're going to deny me three times. And so he did it once. Verse number 68. And the Bible says, and amazed saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. Yeah, no, he's with Jesus. Yeah, he with them. Verse 7, it tells us, and he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agree there too. In other words, he's saying, the way you talk, man, you from Galilee. And notice, the Bible says, not a short time after. Understand this here. God would allow us to show how faithful we are to him. He'll put us in situations. Peter said three times, no, I'm not with Jesus. But he began. See, sometimes we get warm when people start challenging us. The Bible says, but he began to curse and to swear, saying, watch this again now, I know not this man of whom ye speak. Peter now, when he was put in a situation, he denied with a shame of Christ on three occasions. And here's the blessing for us. And that's why we need to study the word of God. The Bible says, and the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him. Church, we don't have to walk around and quote book, chapter, and verse. No. But we need to grow in our study that we can call to mind the word of the Lord.
There you go.
That's what keeps us out of trouble. That's what keeps us from sinning. When I can call to mind. Now, if Peter had done that beforehand, see, you know how sometimes, now I don't know about you, I know y'all don't do this, but it happens to me. Because y'all don't do this, I do this. Sometimes, right after I sin, the answer to the sin from the word of God comes to my mind. But it don't come when you need it.
No,
that's not true. We don't want it sometimes when we need it. Yeah, because that's what temptation is about. Yeah, temptation. I think someone did this, you guys taught on this. Temptation is when there's a something that I desire and I want it. And the Bible calls it a lust. Yeah. So I'm going to steal my text. That's James chapter 1. But Peter was able to call to mind the word that Jesus said unto him. And I'm saying to all of us, we need to be studying the word of God every day. So when we get in those situations, when I get ready to blow up on somebody, I can call to mind that the Bible has the word temperance in there. All of us, Peter wrote, 2 Peter 1, that all of us need to exercise self-control. Yeah. You know, excuse my language, excuse my four letter word. No, no, no. As a Christian, I shouldn't have to excuse you.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what the word of God is designed to do. So Peter called to mind what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, he remembered. Too late. Jesus said, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Bible says, and when he thought thereon, he wept. See, we should grow also that when we sin, it brings us almost to tears. Yeah. Because now what I'm doing, the word of God is designed to keep us. Amen. From what Peter did. Peter was ashamed to deny the Lord three times. We're going to come back to Peter. My question to us this morning. Have you ever been ashamed to share with anyone that you are a Christian and a member of the Church of Christ in an humble manner? Mm-hmm. Not boastfully or proudly. But have you ever? Ask yourself. Yeah. Were there ever a situation where you were in, you was in a crowd or you was in a group with people, and at that time you was ashamed to say who and what you really are? Yeah. We can become ashamed to the point that we deny our very own. That's what Peter did. He denied his very own. So, we find, going back to the text, where Paul told Timothy, number one, don't be ashamed of the testimony or the evidence concerning the Lord. He said, nor of me his prisoner. We shouldn't be ashamed of someone else that is a Christian. Then he gave him, he said, well, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So Paul's answer to Timothy was the fact that instead of being ashamed of the Lord and of me, he said, what I'm encouraging you to do is to be a, the word partaker means to share of the afflictions that came with, Paul said, with preaching the gospel. We'll talk a little bit about that. He said, according to the power of God. You see, we have to understand as a Christian that the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, we're going to go through some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, Paul references it as light affliction. He said, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, the word moment here means that which is present with us now. Or in other words, it's what you're going through. Amen. We go through stuff. But Paul, encouragement to the Corinthians, says, whatever you're going through, your sickness, your trial, your tribulation that are on you, Paul told the Corinthians, that works for you. Why? Because you got coming a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You got something better. So that's why when I'm going through stuff and when I'm sick and it doesn't look, I can't see the light for the tunnel. I can't see the end. Paul said to them, it's a light affliction. To my encouragement to us is what Paul told Timothy. You're going to go through some stuff because of the gospel. Yeah. But understand that God has the ability. The word power means ability of God to get us through. And so that's when he reminded him. He says, concerning God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Let's unpack what Paul told Timothy. He said, understand this. When you're going through stuff, God has saved us. He's talking to those that are Christian. Word saved means the spiritual salvation given by God to those that are obedient to the gospel. God has saved us. Not only that, he has called us. Called here means an invitation to man from God to accept the benefits of salvation that came in the gospel. Then he said, is not according to our works. Here. See, understand, don't turn your Bible to Romans chapter 4. Let me show you this. When we go to work, those of us that work, or those that have work, you get your Social Security check. You have work. Amen? Yeah. But they owe you that. Yeah. When you go to work, you are owed that. So in Romans chapter 4, we find in verse number 4 what Paul wanted the Romans to know. He says, now to him, that worketh is reward, not reckon of grace, but of what? Yeah. So what Paul was letting the Romans know, whenever you go to work, you should expect a reward.
Right.
Yeah. It's not about grace. I want my money. It's about debt. You pay me.
Yes, sir.
I go to work. I do a job. I'm expecting a paycheck.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's what Romans 4 teaches us. He said, for him that worketh, you expect a reward, but it's of debt. They are indebted to you. But understand this now. God can never be indebted to us.
Amen.
We can never earn heaven.
No.
We can never do enough to get God to be indebted to us. We are always indebted to God.
Amen.
For what God did in sending his son. Yeah. Yeah. Paul let the Romans know. He said, but in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, not talking about a reward, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for right. That's your payment. Your faith is your payment. When I'm able to take the word of God, so then faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of
God.
Yeah. So yeah. I want to look at it the way Paul was telling Timothy. It's not according to our, he said, understand this here. God saved us and called us. Notice he said with a holy calling, but it's not according to our word. It's not because we've done so good. But according to his own, God has a purpose and God also has grace. And he said it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Yeah. See, God knew what man was going to do. God knew I was going to sin. God knew that I was going to sin. So even before the world began, God had already had a plan. Yeah. That he was going to ask his son, the father was going to ask the son to go down there and die for all those people and save them from their sins. All of us are indebted to God for what Christ accomplished by dying on the cross. It's always good to remind us of what God has done for our souls. It is not because we have earned it, but because of the grace of God. And now, what my response to God's grace is right there in that verse. We ought to live holy. Yeah. Yeah. He called us with a holy calling. And then Paul told him, he said, but is now manifest. He's talking about Jesus, who God has given up before the world gone. Paul told Timothy, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now watch what Christ did, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Yeah. The word manifest means to make known through divine inspiration. We have the Bible. And what Jesus did, see, when you are a faithful Christian, you grow to the level that you're not worried about death no more. Cause we all gone. Yeah. But what we realize is that Jesus, the word abolished means Jesus overcame death. Yeah. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. Those are the ones who say, how do I know Jesus did that? Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 26, the Bible says in verse 25, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Yeah. So for the faithful Christian that die in the Lord, we all die once. Yeah. But Paul said, what Jesus did, he brought life and immortality to light, and it's through what? The gospel. The gospel allows me that opportunity to live for the Lord, to become a Christian and live. And how do we know Jesus lived? Well, the Bible teaches us that. When John wrote in John 20, John said, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. See, we wasn't like Paul, saw those that saw Christ after his resurrection. No. But we believe it just as much or even more so. Why? Because it's written. Yeah. It's written in the word of God. He said that these things are written. I'm telling all of us and sharing with us, start believing what's written. You know, Brother Brooks has a saying one time. He said he called it what's written in the Bible. He called the Bible the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen? That's what the Bible is. These are instructions, basic instructions before you leave earth. You need to do what it says. Follow the instruction. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so we have Christ. And then Paul told him, whereunto I am appointed. He said, I'm a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul was faithful to the Lord regarding the charge that he was given. God had charged him. So my question to us this morning is, Paul used his talents. God called him. Yeah. And Paul used his talents and was faithful. Paul said, look here, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of Gentiles. I'm doing it. So my question to us is, are we using our talents for the cause of Christ? Yeah. Each of us that are members here, are we using our talents for the cause of Christ? Let me give you my responsibility. I like to say this. So I put it before everybody. So if you know, and when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, you need to call me on it. My responsibility to this congregation is to preach the gospel of Christ and to teach about living the life as a Christian. That's it. Yeah. And to be an example before everybody. Mm-hmm. Will I sin? Yes, I will. I'm a human. Yeah. I am fallible. No. I will sin.
That's right.
Yeah. But there ought to be also develop some consistency in our lives that we live faithful to the Lord. Amen? And so Paul told him, after he gave him his qualification, my last verse, and we're going to end this talking about Peter. He said, for the which, talking about me being a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, for which cause I also suffer these things. See, when you're a Christian, you're going to suffer some things.
Yes.
Yeah, Peter, we'll talk about it later on in Paul's letter. He said, all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. But then here's my title. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. No matter what we go through, and no matter how difficult it gets, I should never lay down my Christianity. Yeah. No matter how much I'm challenged, and we talk about how Peter did. We talked about when Peter was challenged, how he began to curse, and you know what I'm saying? Don't ever lay down your Christianity. Paul said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Why was he not ashamed? He gave the reasons. For I know whom I have believed. Paul said, I believe in Jesus Christ. He also said, and I am persuaded. See, you got to be persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day of judgment. See, we got to live a life that whatever come down, come down. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to commit my life and my soul to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, for that reason, I'm not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe in Christ. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep it until that day.
Mm-hmm.
But now, turn your Bibles back to Acts chapter 5. We want to pick up with Peter at, because I want to help us with something this morning. Remember, Peter denied the Lord how many times? When they got real tight, he started cursing. I know none of you all don't curse. I know I just, but it was in the Bible, so I had to say that because I know y'all don't curse. So I know even if somebody gets under your skin, yeah, and make you mad, I know the last thing you're going to do. Yeah. Not the first thing you're going to do, the last thing you're going to do. Yeah. Let me help us this morning. In Acts 5:29, the Bible said, we're talking about Peter now. When we talked about Peter first, he denied the Lord three times. The Bible says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said,
we ought to obey
who?
God.
Rather than?
Man.
Yeah. So Peter had grown to the point that he made the statement that we ought to grow to the point that I'm going to obey God rather than man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, when I'm in a difficult situation in our marriage, and when the Lord says to me, love your wife, even so she ain't doing what I think she ought to be doing, I'm going to obey God rather than. Yeah, sisters, you got a husband and he ain't doing what's right. Paul still says to us, that we ought to show reverence to him. Amen? Yeah, because what you're doing sometimes is you obeying God. And sometimes, I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm not saying it's not tough. But we have to get to the point when Peter said, we ought to obey God. Anytime I'm in a situation, that's why I need to know what the Word of God says so I can do what the Word of God says. I can't, let me say to all of us, you can't obey what you don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Peter said, remember he said he called to mind. Yeah. Peter talks about that. Yeah. We ought to be able to do that. So now, verse number 4 that I want to get to as I close. The Bible says, remember Peter from Mark chapter 14. And this is Peter now. The Bible says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, which Peter was one of them, and beaten them, and commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let him go. Now this was Peter, who nobody had touched him the first time. He was just ashamed to deny the Lord. All the girls did was say, you was with him. No, I wasn't. I said, no, I wasn't. Say, don't you let me start cursing up in here. That was the first Peter. Now, this is this Peter. And they departed from the presence. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council. Watch this now. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. See, we got to grow to the point that even when people treat us bad because we stand up as being a Christian. Now, we are never going to support LGBT. Mm. Yeah. However, I've learned to treat people the way I want to be treated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't, you don't, I shouldn't look down on nobody. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at people's behavior, behavior is simply sin. We all sin.
Amen.
Yeah. But I'm going to stand up for Christianity. Paul, Peter, the Bible tells us about Peter and the rest of the apostles. They counted it worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, I'm sorry, in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Peter had grown spiritually, that he had committed his soul to the care of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. He trusted God completely. I'm saying to all of us, we must grow to be as Peter, what he became. Amen? Yeah, so there may have been times in my life when I was ashamed of being a Christian. But I want to grow to the point that Peter grew. They told him, now we're going to, they beat him first of all. And sometimes, you know, you grow to the point that when people start treating you bad because you're a Christian, you count that as a worthiness to suffer the shame for his name. I'm just thankful to be a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ.
Amen.
And I'm going to go out. And your responsibility is my responsibility. I may go out and preach it. Your responsibility is to teach it as you understand the Word of God. Yeah. And so, as my title said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. So I may have been ashamed of some things when I was growing up because of the fact I didn't have certain things in life, and I was ashamed for that. But now I'm a Christian. And I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. I saw from the example how Peter grew. And I'm saying to all of us, Christianity is a growth process.
Yeah, yeah.
And understand about this here. As a Christian, no one ever graduates. Now, you may go to a higher level of learning and a higher character of living. Yeah, the Bible teaches that. Yeah. The Bible teaches that. Yeah, let me show you that in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 6, you can grow in your level. Yeah, Hebrews 6. And I'm all for the plan of salvation. Let us know that growth is possible. In Hebrews 5 and 14, where he shows a comparison between when you were a babe and how you're supposed to grow. In Hebrews 5:13, the Hebrew writer wrote, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? He's a babe." Yeah. But we got to get off of milk. "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So now, this not talking about physical age, this talking about spiritual age. Uh-huh. What the Hebrew writer was saying, that some of us can grow to now we can digest strong meat. And how do you know you grow, Brother Stroud? It's right there in the text. When I'm able to discern good from evil, when I'm able to make decisions that are right and wrong, that shows me that I'm growing. Mm. Amen. And so when you get full age as a Christian, you know, some things that used to tempt you don't even bother you no more. Amen? You know, I stopped stealing a long time ago. Seeing all that money, don't bother me. It don't tempt me. Man, seeing this young person up there, don't tempt me. I've grown from that. And all of us have challenges in our lives that we have to grow from. Amen? So again this morning, thy close. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we don't want you to be ashamed. Why, Brother Stroud? Because when Paul was talking about what God did for us and God saved us, Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, told him how this was accomplished. He said, "For there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, that man, Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. So he wanted him to know that God had a mediator. God the Father had a person that stood between him and us. He said that Jesus Christ is not the Pope. Yeah, there's millions of people follow someone, but the Bible, remember, it said, believe what's written. I can't find the word Pope in the Bible. But the largest religious organization are those that are Catholic. I'm not saying that in a secret. I'm just telling you how those people are not following the Bible. The mediator is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Why? Paul told him, because he gave himself a ransom for all of us to be testified in due time when that gospel preached. Now I'd like to define what ransom means. Ransom means something paid for the release of someone from captivity. All of us, at one point, when we became old enough, or the age of accountability, all of us sinned, then we became captive to sin. The devil had us captive. But the Bible teaches us, Christ gave up his life in an atonement for our sin. And this is good for those who are obedient to the conditions stated in the Bible. Jesus became our propitiation for our sin. He was our substitute. God had to treat Jesus. What do you mean, Pastor? God had to say to Jesus, "This man needs to die. And what Jesus did, he took off his robe and he said, Judge, I'll die in his stead. You what? I'll die in his stead. You know, I'm going to nail him on a cross because the Romans had the worst type of suffering. You going to die for him? Yes, I am. You're going to be nailed to a cross and you're going to die on the cross. And Jesus, the word propitiation means, instead of being our defense attorney, he became the one who would suffer for us. Amen? So, in order to become a Christian, all these are what Jesus said. Five acts. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So you got to hear something. You're here in the audience this morning. And I'll tell you what you have to hear. The Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto them in John 6:29, this is the work of God that ye believe on him whom he sent. We've read John 20:31. That's why we believe, because it's written. So we believe on Jesus Christ. Then the Bible tells us, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So I got to repent. What repentance means, Brother Stroud? That means you turn from the way you've been living, you turn to God. That's where it starts. Then I must confess. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. You have to make this. What do I confess my sin? No, God already know you sin. I need to confess what I now believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then Jesus said in Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel of three facts, that Jesus Christ died for our sin, he was buried, he rose again the third day. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you are saved once you complete your obedience in water baptism. And I'm going back to what I said before. The Lord will then add you to the church, those that are saved. You are not saved from your sin until you obey the Lord. Amen. And if you die in your sin, you can't go to heaven. John 8:21 says that. So what is the church? The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers called out from the world over which Christ rules as the head. You're either in one or two places. You're either in the world or you're in the church. There's no other place to be. You're either in the world or you're in the church. If you haven't obeyed the Lord, you're still in the world. Mm. And then the Bible says, what church? Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, salute you one another, holy, with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. So if you're there this morning and you need to respond to the message in any way, shape, or form, we're going to bid you to come as together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you for your patience on this morning. Amen?
Yeah. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Thank you very much.